This is LBC London News.
It's 7 minutes to six here on LBC London News. You're listening to Drive with me, Chris Golds. Let's talk all things America right now, and the race for the White House continues. Hillary Clinton, well, she's extended her lead over Donald Trump after their rival parties held their national conventions. The Democratic nominee is 8 points ahead of the Republican billionaire, according to a poll by Reuters and Ipsos. Let's go live to America now, where our US correspondent Simon Marks is standing by for us in Washington. So, Simon, I haven't looked at Twitter in the last couple of hours. Has Trump done anything recently?
We've not had a massive gaffe here yet today, Chris, but I think everybody is waiting to see whether there is one or whether Donald Trump finally starts showing some degree of self-control. I have to tell you, the last 96 hours have been absolutely extraordinary as we cover an already unprecedented presidential election, with Donald Trump really showing signs of completely melting down on the campaign trail. Remember that he went after the parents of that slain army captain, an American Muslim buried in Arlington National Cemetery, whose parents appeared at the Democratic convention in Philadelphia last week and challenged Donald Trump. Asking him whether he'd ever read the United States Constitution, asking him where, insisting that he had never made any sacrifices himself in line with the sacrifices that they and their family had made, and insisting that as American Muslims, they had undivided loyalties to the United States. There was no reason for Donald Trump to go after them in the way that he's done over the last 4 days, and his behavior has appalled his fellow Republicans, its enraged veterans groups here. Everyone has moved to distance themselves, including his running mate Mike Pence, from some of the things that Donald Trump said about the parents of that slain army captain. And there have been other very curious moments on the campaign trail, including one just yesterday when he appeared to tell the mother of a crying baby, whom he initially said that he was happy to have crying at his campaign rally, to get the baby out. Take a listen.
I have the biggest bank in the world as a tenant of mine in New York. The biggest in the world, a Chinese bank. Don't worry about that baby. I love babies. So I love babies. I hear that baby crying. I like it. What a baby. What a beautiful baby. Don't worry. Don't worry. The mom's running around like, don't worry about it, you know. It's young and beautiful and healthy, and that's what we want. Okay. We have the piggy bank. They have ripped us to shreds, ripped us absolutely to shreds. Actually, I was only kidding. You can get the baby out of here. That's all right. Don't worry. I think she really believed me that I love having a baby crying while I'm speaking. That's okay. People don't understand. That's okay.
And there was more. Donald Trump has refused to endorse senior Republican figures here, including Senator John McCain, himself a former presidential candidate, and Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, the most powerful elected Republican in Washington. He's refused to endorse their re-election bids, causing turmoil within the Republican leadership. Reince Priebus, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, is described as apoplectic over Donald Trump's behavior over the last 3 or 4 days, and it is leading, Chris, to open speculation here about the personal mental stability of Donald Trump and about whether perhaps there might be some attempt made to persuade Donald Trump to drop out of the presidential race. His aides insist he's 100% in it to win it, but they are the same aides who privately are expressing to reporters great concern and consternation about the way in which his campaign is being run behind the scenes and about their inability to control what he does or what he says.
Is there any way, is there any sort of mechanism for getting him off the ticket?
There's no formal mechanism for getting him off the ticket, but there is apparently an informal intervention that is going to be made. One television network here reporting that two prominent Republicans, to whom Donald Trump listens, the former Speaker of the House of Representatives, Newt Gingrich, and the former Mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani, are reportedly preparing to sit Donald Trump down and tell him that there has to be a major overhaul, a major reset of the way in which the campaign is functioning, that they are very, very concerned now privately about the gaffes that have been exhibited on the campaign trail and about just the very thin-skinned nature of Donald Trump's ad hominem attacks against the Khan family, the family of that slain army captain. And bear in mind, there are lots of other things Donald Trump could be talking about. Saturday's Wall Street Journal, front page banner headline, America's economic recovery, the weakest since 1949. Today, the White House spokesman being peppered with questions by reporters about why the United States paid $400 million in cash to Iran secretly earlier this year. The Republicans claiming it was ransom to try and secure the release of four Americans who were released from Iranian jails. The White House insisting no, it was simply a refund of money that the Iranians had paid America back in 1979 for military equipment that the United States never provided. Lots of grist, you would think, there for Donald Trump's political mill. He hasn't been talking about any of those things. Let's see if finally he seizes upon them and tries to put the turmoil of the last few days behind him.
Who's actually running his campaign for him? Is it anyone that's had a sort of real dealing with any sort of campaigns in the past?
Well, I mean, the people immediately around him, and it is a tight-knit group, tend to have the surname Trump. So he's definitely listening to his two sons, who have no former political experience. He's definitely listening to his daughter, who also has no formal political experience. And as you know, they thought that his wife Melania was going to be something of a secret weapon for them, but that has not worked out to be the case following the plagiarism allegations that swirled around her during her convention speech. He does have a campaign manager, Paul Manafort, a man who previously worked for the former president of Ukraine, and many people here believe that that may be playing into some of the curious things Donald Trump has been saying on the campaign trail about Russia. But that campaign manager, Paul Manafort, said on Fox just a couple of hours ago, this is a direct quote, "I'm in control of doing the things that he wants me to do in the campaign." That's very different from saying I'm in control of the campaign. It's pretty clear that Donald Trump is not giving Paul Manafort particularly wide license to engage in the kind of activities that a campaign manager would normally engage in. And it's also very clear that there are serious strains in Donald Trump's relationship with his running mate Mike Pence, who seems to spend all day long explaining why he disagrees with things that Donald Trump has said, and all day long embracing people like Senator John McCain, who he's backing for re-election, even though Donald Trump isn't.
It's extraordinary. And I keep trying to think of another word other than extraordinary.
There's no precedent for this, Chris. We are in absolutely uncharted waters. I mean, I know there are listeners out there because they tweet me and they tell me that, you know, I'm being one-sided about all of this. But it's not me saying this stuff. It's Donald Trump's fellow Republicans saying they are seriously worried about the direction his campaign is taking.
The list of Republicans not voting for Trump, it seems to be longer than the list who are voting for him. And then you've got the minority of Republicans who are even saying that they're going to vote for Mrs. Clinton instead.
Yes, I mean, and there's a real danger there for Donald Trump. We saw yesterday the first Republican member of Congress publicly endorsing Hillary Clinton for the presidency. If that becomes, if another two or three do the same thing and that slowly becomes some kind of wave up on Capitol Hill, that really is completely going to scupper his chances of winning the presidency. And indeed, his chances of winning the presidency are receding. You saw that Hillary Clinton is now 8 or 9 points clear of Donald Trump in the opinion polls, but that translates into an 11 or 12 point bounce for her out of her convention, because remember that he was 3 points ahead of her just a week ago. Of course, we are 3 months away from Election Day. 3 months is an insanely long time in American politics, and anything could happen. But Donald Trump is going to have to demonstrate that he can get control of his campaign and of what he says publicly. Otherwise, there is a real risk now that everything for him is going to unravel.
But he's just saying that Hillary's rigging the whole thing.
Well, that was another extraordinary assertion that he made on the campaign trail just a couple of days ago, suddenly saying that he thought that the outcome of the election could be rigged. He's never said that before. He offered absolutely no evidence to support that contention. If you actually listen to that section of the speech that he was making in Ohio, he begins, there's a phrase, he appears to start to stand that idea up, but then the mind moves into a different gear. And he goes off on a completely separate tangent and never comes back to it. It was also while he was in Ohio that he referred to Hillary Clinton as the devil. He said that Bernie Sanders had made a deal with the devil, and lest there was any doubt about who he meant by that, he said, she's the devil. I mean, that's, you know, that's Hugo Chavez-style talk, a man who once stood in the well of the United Nations at General Assembly after George W. Bush had spoken there and said that he could smell the sulfur. You know, none of that is going down well with the very Republican leadership that Donald Trump, you would think, would want to have on side ahead of Election Day in November.
Well, as I said, I was looking for another word other than extraordinary, but I can't think of one. If anyone's got any ideas, do tweet me at Chris Golds on Twitter. Thank you very much to Simon Marks, our Washington correspondent, for us continuing to bring us this, extraordinary story of the race for the White House. And it goes on until November. So do stay with us here in LBC London News. We'll certainly hear more from Simon between now and November.